as the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 6, the part of the 7th verse and also the 8th verse. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Chapter 6, the Epistle to the Galatians, part of verse 7 and the whole of verse 8. The subject is sowing and reaping, and it is one from one viewpoint that is very simple, but from another viewpoint it is very solemn. You hardly need any preacher to tell you that it is an unfailing principle that reaping must be in accord with the seed that is sown. And that is what the Apostle Paul is setting forth to the godly Galatians. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And now, dear young people, our lifetime is a time of sowing. And whether you realize it or not, you are sowing every day in what you do, what you say, where you go, how you live, and in accordance with the seed that is sown, so shall the harvest be. Wheat will produce wheat. Cockle will produce cockle. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, just to look at this subject very simply from two viewpoints of it, for the subject really divides itself. I will say something first of all of what it is to sow to the flesh. And that means to sow seed in accordance with what your mind is very partial to. That is the meaning, he that soweth to his flesh. The Word of God says the carnal mind, that is the mind you possess as you were born as a little babe. The carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And until a sinner has that great miracle wrought whereby he is born again and is given a new heart, a new nature, he will continue to sow to the flesh, and his attitude will be, can you remember, any of you dear young people, I'm not fitting any caps on, I'm just drawing a bow at a venture, but have any of you said to your godly fathers and mothers, I shall do as I like, as I like? He that soweth to his flesh. And in following that line of things, that is just what you are doing. I shall do as I like. And if you do, and continue to do it, and God does not show you any mercy, then you will find this word is a very solemn word of a truth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And now, sowing to the flesh. Sowing cannot be done without seed. You get many examples of sowing and reaping as regards sowing to the flesh in the Word of God. But I will not take up much time in calling your attention to them, only to read concerning one which is recorded in the book of Judges, when Israel went to war against the Canaanites, there was one king they fought against, and his name was Adoni-Bezek. And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites, but Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Oh, what a cruel man Adoni-Bezek was. But there he found of a truth that the seed he sowed brought to him an harvest of eternal woe. And so it will be with all who live a life and do but sow to the flesh and regard not God. But I said, what is it to be sowing to the flesh? In what way are we to understand it? Because I have already said, some of you may have said to your godly fathers and mothers, I should do as I like. Well, all children have not got the same kind of like. Some like this and some like that. And that is the bent of their mind. But in any case, it is the flesh. And they want to follow it. And they sow seed, whereby their flesh shall be pleased, the carnal mind, pleased with the life that they live. And now, he that soweth to his flesh. And now, if you live a life of following after the world, and your eyes are allured by the vanities of this world, and you are captivated so that you desire to have as much of the world as you can get into your everyday life in your spare time, that is sowing to the flesh in following after the world. There are some who sow to the flesh in seeking fame. Oh, they want to be this or that in the world. Have their name in the headlines, in the daily papers, broadcast from the BBC as to who they are and what they are and what they have done, and all of it sowing to the flesh in seeking fame. But then there is this viewpoint of it. He that soweth to his flesh, oh, that can be done and is done, alas, in following the fashions of this world, in dress, and that which is pleasing to the carnal mind. Remember Queen Elizabeth, miscalled Good Queen Bess. It is said she had a dress to put on for every day of the year in her wardrobe, a different one. And in that she was so into the flesh. And when she tossed on her deathbed, she said, "The half of my kingdom for an inch of time. Oh, but you cannot buy time at any price." And her time had come to die. And she had to appear before her Maker and reap the consequences of the seed that she had sown in her life, although it was lived in such a high place as to be England's queen. Then there is this way of sowing to the flesh. You children, in your history lessons, you have heard quite a deal about William the Conqueror. And he sowed to the flesh in living a military life and seeking to subdue kingdoms and conquer peoples, so that his name was William the Conqueror. But then when he died, his body laid on the ground, unburied, for 2 or 3 days, because all round about him had fled. And that was his end, and that was the life he lived. William the Conqueror. Oh, this is the way I would like you to be conquerors. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. When you are enabled to control what you are by nature, your temper which may rise, and whereby if you fall a prey to it, you may do much mischief to other people and to your own conscience too. To be able to conquer that, the great I inside you, have the axe laid at the root of it. It is a great scripture. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. He that soweth to his flesh. And now, dear young people, I've got to come very close with this line of things, and I'm just seeking for your good in this life and that which is to come. There is a sowing to the flesh. This will more especially refer to teenagers and those older still. There is a sowing to the flesh in a right use of money. Do you realize that God will call you to account for how you spend your money? The word of God tells us you cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon is this world and money particularly. And now, if money comes to you and you have the spending of it, God will require you to render an account of what you have done with it. How many packets of cigarettes it may be, or what you have done regarding makeup, dare I say that, and other things which you can do without, which are not essential to everyday life. But having money, you cannot control your propensity to spend it. And now that is sowing to the flesh, whether it be to do with fashion or dress, or whatever that is pleasing to you, your carnal mind, and which you think, because you have got the money to pay for it, then you can buy it, you must have it. Every one of us should give an account to God. And this is an age when you dear young people have got a great deal more money to spend than many of us knew anything about in our youthful days, when money was scarce, pocket money very low often, and very little that you could sow to the flesh regarding it, because it didn't exist. We had hard apprenticeships in our youth, many of us, and it is profitable to look back and see that to be brought up in poverty's veil and deep down in it, there is that in it which will teach you the value of money and how to spend it aright. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. There is another way of sowing to the flesh. Then I will look at the subject from another viewpoint of it. There is a sowing to the flesh in the formal worship of God. Like Cain, when he brought of the fruits of the ground before his creator and thought to worship him aright in doing so, when God had made it plain, without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, and that he could only be worshipped aright by way of a sacrifice. And Cain offered that formal worship, and it was to do with the flesh. And I am very much afraid a great deal of worship nowadays is in that category. I look at this scripture. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, there is a sowing which is good, desirable, commendable, but it is for this life only. It is what we call morality. Morality is at a very low level in our land nowadays, but the Word of God inculcates morality. Obedience to parents is one viewpoint of it. And now there is a good sowing. It is good for this life. And I will tell you how you will feel if you do think you can do as you like and flout what your godly father and mother may desire for you and seek to live as you list. When you stand by their graves and look down for the last look on their coffin, you will have some very sorrowful and solemn reflections then, but it will be too late. Too late. It is sowing aright when you honour your father and mother and yield them obedience, knowing that in their love they desire all that is good for you, and what is more, until you are grown up, they are responsible for you as you live under their home roof. Another sowing which is good is to sow kindness, kind words, kind deeds, sympathetic words. Another sowing which is very desirable, and that is when you are industrious, when you work with willing hands and feet to do what you can, whether it be under your home roof or as you go forth to earn the bread which perisheth. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And now in that, there is a good sowing, and the blessing of God will come upon you if you will help to sow such seed and to seek to do what you do as before God as well as man. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but pleasing God. It will benefit you. There is a blessing in it for this life. I like those words concerning Samuel, and it says, the child Samuel did minister before the Lord. It says in another chapter, first of all, that he did minister before Eli. But he went on and he ministered before the Lord, although Eli gave him instruction as to what he was to do. And now there is a sowing also that is good and commendable in service. By love serve one another. Oh, you know, I have heard in my journey through life some godly fathers and mothers who have asked their children to do this and that, and they have been rather reluctant to do it, so that the godly fathers and mothers were rather disheartened that when they had done so much for the children's good, that there should be such a little return being made. And now think of that little maid who was a captive maid that stood before Naaman's wife. When Naaman was struck down with the dreadful plague of leprosy, although she was a little captive maid, an Israelite maid, yet she said to her mistress, "Oh, if the master could only be in Israel's land, there is one there who could do him good and cure him of his leprosy." And now she was sowing good seed. And you know how it worked out. Naaman gained a great advantage over what that little maid said to her mistress for his good, and God granted him healing. And then, remember, there is a sowing that God will always own and honor when you speak the truth at whatever cost it is to do it. There is a great word that needs to be much remembered nowadays. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. I've thought many times of a word in the Old Testament. These are the things that ye should do. Amend your ways and your doings, and speak the truth, every man to his neighbor. And now that is indeed good sowing, to live like that. Then it is good to sow thankfulness, to show some appreciation of that which love does for you under your home roof or wherever it may be, and to appreciate the goodness of God which surrounds you. When you think, as I have told you before, that 2/3 of the world go to bed hungry, when you have never done that yet, unless you had to do it for a punishment, but there was still a supper for you to have if you had behaved aright. think how thankful you should be. And you know what is on your table, how it is always covered with goodies, and even then you may be ready to complain because something is missing that is very desirable for you. Oh, it becomes us to humble ourselves before God in His goodness toward us. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Nor let His mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. Oh, how much might be said under this heading. He that soweth to his flesh. Now, if it is a sinful sowing, you will reap corruption. But if in your everyday life you are helped to sow seeds of obedience and kindness and industry and service and truth and thankfulness, you will find what the Word of God says. Them that honour me, I will honour. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And now, there is just one other way. You sow to the flesh, sometimes in the company you keep, and places where you are found. And this Holy Bible tells us, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And now, it may be the truth that you young people, some of you, I'm only drawing a bow at a venture, and your consciences can tell you if it is the truth, and they will do if they are in working order. Some of you, dear young people, you have got things hidden up, locked up in your breast, that your godly father and mother do not know anything about, and you do not wish them to know, because in that you have been sowing to the flesh. Well, whether your father and mother do know anything about it or no, there is one scripture still that you will find will search you. Be sure your sin will find you out. And now there is but one thing, if any of you dear young people should be in that case which I have just hinted at, and that is, there is a place where your sin will not find you out. And that is a place appointed by God. It is to be found at Calvary's cross. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Going back a moment to what I said about industry, it comes to my mind that in the Daily Telegraph last week, it was stated that there was one in the House of Lords in making a speech, and during his lifetime he had been a noted Methodist minister, but he was just a travesty of what a Methodist minister really should be, although now he is a Lord with a title to his name. But in a speech he made in the House of Lords, he said the Apostle Paul was not inspired when he said, if a man will not work, then he shall not eat. He said, there should be provision made by the state for everybody to eat, whether they could work or no. But now he had the audacity to say, the Apostle Paul was not inspired when he recorded it. And now it is said in this Holy Bible, God spake all these words, and he spoke that word too, that Paul recorded. And it remains a great truth, whatever this great Methodist minister, so-called, may have to say about it, and it does not matter much what he does have to say about it, as regards his standing as a minister, because he does not believe that Jesus Christ was born a babe and laid in Bethlehem's manger, cradle, as a babe, and that his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. But as I say, he had the audacity to make that statement. Yet, some think it a hardship to work for their bread, although for our good it was meant. But those who won't work have no right to be fed, and the idle are never content. It is just sowing to the flesh, and this word will be fulfilled. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And now let us look at the other side. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And now I do hope many of you, dear young people, know what that sowing is. He that soweth to the Spirit of God. And how is that sowing done? It cannot be done at all until a sinner is born again. But when he is given a true sense of values. And he is made to realize that he is a sinner with a never-dying soul. And that, however long he may live in journeying through life, at the end of it he will step out of time into an eternal state, either heaven or hell. And he desires, being a sinner born again, to sow to the Spirit, that he may be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in life. To sow to the Spirit is to be concerned about our never-dying souls. Like the psalmist, when he said, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation." And like the psalmist in another place, when he said, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me." He that soweth to the Spirit. You see, every sinner born again knows that he must have a religion that the Spirit of God is the author of. Nothing less will suffice to satisfy his soul. And he sows to the Spirit. Like one hymn writer says, "The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. He that soweth to the Spirit." What do you, dear young people, really know about this line of things? This is the most profitable business that you can ever be engaged in this life. He that soweth to the Spirit. And now one thing you will sow to the Spirit about is that you may be taught to pray. You will not find it easy, although God is approachable, seekable, and he never disappoints a poor sinner who knocks at mercy's door. Yet you will find in knocking at mercy's door, you need the help of the Spirit to do it. And say, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me, he that soweth." Mark how it is worded in the present tense. You're doing it all your life long from the time you were born again, sowing. Sowing in your soul's desires, longings, wishes, looking unto Jesus, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Yes, and remember this, if you know what it is to sow to the Spirit, whene'er to call the Saviour mine, my soul with ardent wish aspires. Can it be less than power divine, which animates these strong desires? Oh, it is a wonderful mercy to be helped to sow to the Spirit. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. Another viewpoint of this, sowing to the Spirit, is that you desire to possess the fear of the Lord. And why? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in the possession of it, as it is kept active by the Spirit within, it will help you at all times to live aright. You can put this epitaph on the tombstone of everyone who knows what it is to sow to the Spirit, and he, she, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Nehemiah said, so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yes. One hymn writer says, let fear and love, O gracious God, possess this soul of mine. Oh, cry we to heaven with one loud accord, that to us be given the fear of the Lord. And he that soweth to the Spirit. Another thing you will have in your heart as a desire is to possess a hope in God, a hope well grounded, what is called a good hope through grace. When John Knox, who was a great man in his day, I wish we had got 100 of the like character nowadays, he filled a wonderful niche in Scotland's history in his day. And now when he was dying, just as he was about to pass out of time into eternity, one of his friends said to him, hast thou hope? And he could not speak, but he put up his hand, pointing upward, heavenward, like our hymn writer, when he says, in heaven my choicest treasure lies, my hopes are placed above the skies. And now, that is what you will sow to the Spirit, to be the subject of, that you may possess a hope, well grounded, that will help you while you live, and stand by you when you come down to die. Another viewpoint of this sowing to the Spirit is to have happiness that is worth the name. Go back a moment to those who live their life sowing to the flesh. Do they ever find happiness? Not happiness worth the name. They get a few passing moments, it may be, of what they term pleasure, whereby their carnal mind is pleased, but then it is evanescent. And they wake on the morrow, and they have nothing whatever to show for it. Only their conscience, maybe, is guilty. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You cannot reap happiness worth the name from any earthly source whatever. The thing is impossible. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Honor, learning, wealth and fame all cry out, it is not here. What does the scripture say about it? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord is God. Think of the God of Jacob. Think of the ladder which Jacob saw. And that you, a poor sinner, born again, have the privilege to be found at the ladder's foot and realize the top of it reaches heaven itself, and you can see the Lord above it, carrying on all that is to do with you as you journey through this life. So that you shall realize, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Just one more thought about this sowing to the Spirit as I come toward thee. Amen. And now, it is all summed up in this: to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And you find these people, whether they are young or whatever age they are, as they're helped to sow to the Spirit, you will find always that their bent of mind is that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without Him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in His name to trust, and with pleasure in Him as my portion boast. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, what a beautiful and blessed harvest that will be when, in following on to know the Lord, you're in, you're out. Then you come down to Jordan swelling and reach the end of life's journey and find then the Savior welcoming you. Come ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Life everlasting. And now there are just two things more I want to say. And I'm going to read you something that I found had been locked up in a sermon that was preached by good Mr. Coble, who was pastor at West Street Chapel, Croydon, many years ago, a very godly man and a very great minister. And he said in this sermon, one Sunday as I was preaching, I saw sitting before me a young man, apparently from the country, accompanied by a young woman. A few days later, the young woman called upon me, saying her friend was very unwell, and asked me to go and see him. I did so. And after a little conversation, I asked him what his hope was in the prospect of death. He answered, "Alas, I fear none. For I have been brought up under the gospel, yet have neglected what I have heard. Two or three times before this I have been ill, and have made vows of reformation, which have vanished with my illness, and now I feel my soul is indeed lost, and it is too late." The godly minister tried to put before him the mercy of God, telling him God had a long arm to reach the most desperate case, but he could not receive it. "Twice afterwards," said Mr. Coble, "I visited him, but found him still in the most despairing state, very painful to witness, for he was not able to grasp any comfort or hope. Shortly after, someone called from his house and requested me to come, saying he was wringing his hands in the agonies of despair. This I found too true. Again I attempted to direct his mind to the mercy of God, to lost and ruined sinners, but he put it from him, saying, 'I am lost, lost, lost,' and so he died." And now there, you see, one who was brought up under the sound of the truth. But he gave no attention to it, and it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And now that was a very solemn end for that young man to come to. And I can tell you, dear young people, that in my early ministry, when I was visiting another cause of truth, I was asked to visit a man who was ill, and as I had known somewhat of him, I went to see him. And I found him in despair. And I tried to say something, but I found I could not say anything in any way whatever that would be for his help or comfort. And I found my mouth was, as it were, muzzled, that I could not speak anything comforting. And at last I had to go on my way, and I felt very disappointed and felt I'd altogether failed as a minister and as a pastor, although it was not anyone to do with us in our cause of truth. But when I looked at that man, I saw despair written on his countenance, and it was a very astonishing sight. And soon after I left him, he went out of time into eternity by his own hand, and he was lost. And yet he had been brought up and had been a worshipper in our cause of truth, not so very far off from here either, but that was the end he came to. He had sowed to the flesh, and he reaped the harvest of it. And now, not to send you home with that thought, do you remember, maybe you say your memories are bad, but they're quite good enough to remind me that I have taken a subject sometime, a year or two or more years still before, when I take it again. Do you remember I told you some while ago about a godly woman whom I knew, who lived at Oxford and worshipped in our cause of truth there? And her name was Miss May Shaler. And when she was a girl, she had a wonderful dream. And in her dream, she saw a glorious person stood in their midst as she was playing with her companions. And this person asked each one what she particularly desired in life. Some wanted a lovely home, some wanted money, some wanted gaiety and pleasure. When he turned and asked May Shaler to state her desire, she simply said, "Take my soul with thee to heaven to live." The glorious person looked in her face and smiled and said, "It shall surely be done." And now this dream came to pass. Those with whom she was playing, strange to say, their wishes seemed to be fulfilled in regard to this life and this life only, because they sowed to the flesh. But she was enabled to choose the one thing needful, and followed on to know the Lord for many years. Many a time I saw her sitting in the pew. In fact, I believe she took down in shorthand one or two of the sermons I preached, which were later on published. For many years she sought to serve the Lord, and when at length she died, she received an abundant entrance into God's heavenly kingdom. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Lord help you to think on these things. Amen.